Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Here is this evening's headlines. Taoiseach Simon Harris has committed to apply more pressure to the Lebanese government to see justice for the family of a Donegal soldier who was murdered when on a peacekeeping mission. The High Court has dismissed a legal challenge by a Donegal-based Garda over the handling of a disciplinary investigation and an ongoing suspension. A man has been left shaken after an alleged hijacking car near Milford in the early hours of this morning, and the acting Garda Commissioner has welcomed the extradition of one of the country's most wanted criminal. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport later in the bulletin, and Chris Ashmore will have the farming news and views after the obituary notices. First up in news, Taoiseach Simon Harris has committed to apply more pressure to the Lebanese government to see justice for the family of a Donegal soldier who was murdered when on a peacekeeping mission. Private Sean Rooney was shot and killed when his convoy came under fire in 2022. The commitment came following a question from Deputy Catherine Callaghan, who served in Lebanon during her time as a member of the Irish Defence Forces.
And as always, I cannot mention UNIFIL without mentioning Private Sean Rooney. And can we please ensure that we keep applying pressure to ensure that his killers are brought to justice? Thank you.
In relation to the death and killing of Private Sean Rooney, we absolutely will continue to raise this and are continuing to raise this at every opportunity. His family need justice. They need justice. There needs to be accountability. And that has to happen in the Lebanese authority to bring that about.
The High Court has dismissed a legal challenge by a Donegal-based Garda over the handling of a disciplinary investigation and his ongoing suspension. Garda Keith Harrison, who's been suspended since 2021, is accused of entering into a sexual relationship with a vulnerable woman who reported a crime to him. Court's correspondent Frank Rearney reports.
The breach of discipline alleged against Garda Keith Harrison is that to have engaged in a sexual relationship with a complainant was inappropriate and contrary to the professional duty of care owed to a person alleged to be a vulnerable victim of a crime. He's also alleged to have tried to influence family law proceedings. He denies any wrongdoing and took this legal action in an effort to have his suspension lifted and to put a stop to any further disciplinary hearings. He claimed the suspension was unlawful due to its length, now ongoing for over 4 years, and the non-disclosure of a decision not to prosecute the person the complaint of domestic violence was made against. However, the High Court has today dismissed his action, finding the suspension to be lawful, with the 3 monthly reviews held to be reasonable and rational given the nature of the allegations. The judge also felt the legal challenge was premature, as the disciplinary hearing is ongoing.
A man has been left shaken after an alleged car hijacking near Milford in the early hours of this morning. It's understood the man was driving on a back road between Milford and Terman at around 3:30 when 3 men dressed in dark clothing jumped in front of his car. 2 of them then jumped on the car's bonnet, while the other man produced a knife and demanded the man get out of his car. Gardaí have confirmed inquiries are ongoing. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Marie says they also threatened her brother-in-law that if he reported the incident, they would return.
Well, my brother-in-law was on the way to take a family member to an early appointment, hence why he was on the road early. On a back road between Mulford and Terman, and he wasn't far from his home, a couple of miles. As I said, it was dark, I suppose, at 3:30, starting to turn to bright, I suppose, at 4 a.m. But anyway, they would have maybe saw his lights, and 2 male stood out in front of the car on a corner on this back road, and another one approached from the side to the driver's window. Luckily, he had his doors locked, but the person at the driver's window shouted in to get out of the car. And he said he kind of froze, obviously, so he shook his head. And the other two continued to go up on top of the bonnet. And one of them produced a knife. Just barely got the car stopped, he said. Because they came out so quick, they obviously saw the lights or were waiting there or whatever. Or maybe in another area. Because in the area that it would be in, there would be a derelict or older house there and a few sheds. You know, it's out in the country. It's very kind of derelict. He took out his phone to try and video them. And the man, the male with the knife at the front, said, drop your phone. If you record this or you report this, we'll come back to kill you.
The acting Garda commissioner has welcomed the extradition of one of the country's most wanted criminals. Sean McGovern, a senior figure in the Kinhing cartel, is en route to Dublin after being extradited from the UAE overnight. The 39-year-old Dubliner was among seven members of the gang sanctioned by US authorities in 2022. Commissioner Shauna Coxon has been speaking at a community policing meeting.
This is another significant development in our ongoing work with international law enforcement partners to disrupt and dismantle transnational organized crime gangs. Transnational organized crime gangs cause misery to communities not only in Ireland but throughout the world. They engage in murder, human trafficking, and drug dealing. Tackling these gangs not only makes Ireland safer, but all the other countries they operate in as well.
Conor Lally is a crime editor with the Irish Times. He outlines who Sean McGovern is.
Essentially, Daniel Kinahan's right-hand man in Dubai for at least the last 5 or 6 years. He was previously a member of the Burn Organised Crime Group, effectively ran the Kinahan's operation in Ireland. So it took in the drugs that cartel imported into Ireland and supplied them through the country to other gangs. He was then wounded, but obviously survived the Regency Hotel attack back in February 2016. And really from that point on, it appears that he grew very close to Daniel Kinahan.
A man has been hospitalised following an attempted robbery in Letterkenny yesterday evening. Gardaí were alerted to the incident at around 6:30 in the Main Street area. The man in his 20s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment to what Gardaí say are non-life-threatening injuries sustained during the incident. Investigations are ongoing. The second teenager who drowned in Lough Swilly earlier this month is to be laid to rest this weekend. 18-year-old Matt Sibanda of St Mary's Road Buncrana, a native of Zimbabwe, and 16-year-old Emmanuel Familola, who was originally from Nigeria, are believed to have entered the water to retrieve a football on May 11th. A major search and rescue operation ensued after they got into difficulty. Emmanuel's funeral mass was held a number of weeks ago, while Matt's Requiem Mass will take place on Saturday morning in St Mary's Oratory in Buncrana. A Donegal deputy has hit out at what he says is the government's inability to deliver the most basic needs. Ishka Aaron yesterday told the Infrastructure Committee that it needs an extra €2 billion to deliver the water services capacity needed to reach the government's revised housing targets. It's feared thousands of social and affordable homes will not be built because of the lack of water infrastructure. Deputy Pierce Doherty told Taoiseach Simon Harris that too much red tape is preventing the building of much needed homes.
You are failing on the basic issues. Ishka Aaron has been looking for that money for a year and a half. Across all of our constituencies, there's projects that can't go ahead because of lack of investment. It's happening in Gweedore, it's happening in Dublin City Centre. That's the reality. We have serious basic issues of water and electricity that is putting the most basic right, a roof over your head, in jeopardy. And to add insult to injury, we have people who want to build homes. AHBs. The woman beside you objected to this 8,000.
Minister Healy-Ray.
Maybe have a word with her.
Minister Healy-Ray.
I've never objected to a house.
Example.
But the minister beside you objected to 8,000 homes. 8,000 homes. 8,000 homes. With respect, to add insult to injury, we have an approved housing body. Approved housing body, the largest in the state, taking to the national airwaves saying that 3,000 social and affordable houses will not be delivered as a result of red tape, bureaucracy and delays by the minister and his department. Now, I put it to you, you're going to miss your targets again. Do you accept that? And what do you say about the fact that 3,000 social and affordable homes will not be delivered now, as should be delivered, as people want to deliver them, but because of the delays and red tape in your department?
There's been widespread condemnation of Israel's plans to establish 22 new settlements in the occupied West Bank. They include new ones, as well as those which already were established without permission and will now be legal under Israeli law. Peace Now, an Israeli non-governmental organisation that tracks settlements, said it was the largest expansion of settlements since the signing of the Oslo Accords more than 30 years ago. Settler leader Daniela Wise says she wants to push for new settlements in Gaza.
There will not be Palestinian state between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean. Never, ever. The goal is clear: to prevent any option of establishing any kind of state in the heartland of Israel.
The jury in Gerry Adams' defamation case against the BBC has begun their deliberations. The former Sinn Féin leader is seeking damages over a story on the broadcaster Spotlight programme and an online article in which an anonymous source claimed he sanctioned the killing of Dennis Donaldson in Glenties in County Donegal. The 76-year-old denies any involvement in the killing. The judge has encouraged the jury to reach a unanimous verdict, but a majority decision of 9 or more will be accepted. A Donegal senator is calling for filling stations to be utilised in efforts to expand EV charging infrastructure, particularly in rural areas. Senator Manus Boyle believes the lack of adequate charging ports right across the country could possibly force motorists to revert back to diesel and petrol-powered vehicles. He's urging government to support and incentivise filling stations to install EV chargers. Senator Boyle says Ireland is lagging behind other parts of Europe.
When I was in Killybegs, I seen a man hooking up a foreign man who was Portuguese fella, and I went over to him to chat to him to see how it was going. He was very annoyed. He showed me the map. When you go leave Killybegs, there was only one charger in Fulcara, there's one in Gidoa, two in Dunlow, and only one in Glenties. Now, we're taking tourists in here and we're promoting everything, yet we're not putting the infrastructure in here for these people to come. So, Leader, could we get a bit on it? And, you know, it is starting to work, the EV cars, but it's not going to work in rural areas like Donegal. I can see it going back to diesel cars because the infrastructure is simply not here. So is there anything the government could do, or could we do something through Europe to get these filling stations funding to try and put in chargers? You know, in Portugal, the man said to me, there was 3 chargers for every fuel pump. Now, we'd be lucky to have 3 in the whole road, you know, the road from Galway up to Donegal. So it's something that needs to be looked at seriously, and maybe you could try and see what you could do for me.
Donegal ranks well above the national average in hosting Heritage Week events. It comes as the Heritage Council is calling out for communities to organise an event as part of National Heritage Week 2025. It gets underway on August 16th and will run until the 24th with a themed name as Exploring Our Foundations. Registrations can be made online at heritageweek.ie. It's 12 minutes past 5 here at Highland Radio. We're going to go to a short break and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15 here at Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Seamus Coleman has pulled out of the latest Republic of Ireland squad that will face Senegal and Luxembourg. The Killybegs man is dealing with an injury following the conclusion of the Premier League season. Ireland boss Heimir Hallgrímsson is hoping the 36-year-old isn't considering retirement despite his recent fitness issues.
His experience, his leadership skills is one thing, but his quality as a player is another thing as well. But hopefully there will come another time for him. Hopefully he will just use the off-season and come fit and flying. I'm hoping, and I know the Evertonians are hoping he will continue playing.
Sammy Smodics has also withdrawn from the squad while Andy Moran has been called up. Van Harp's youngsters Gavin McAteer and Josh Cullen have both been selected for the Republic of Ireland under-17 squad that will face Norway, Turkey and Croatia in their first preparation games for the World Cup this November. It's a first call-up for Donegal Town teenager Cullen, while McAteer was in the under-17 panel that qualified for the World Cup. Cork City have confirmed that former Republic of Ireland international David Myler is the new assistant manager of the men's first team. The ex-midfielder is returning to Turner's Cross, having spent most of his career working as a development coach at Championship side Hull City. Myler made his senior professional debut for the Leasiders in 2008 before securing a move to Premier League club Sunderland later that year. In darts, the winner of the Premier League will take home £275,000 this evening. Defending champion Luke Littler finished top of the group phase as he looks to become just the third player to retain the title. He says the 16-week tournament is up there with his favourite events in the calendar.
Obviously the biggest one's the World Championships, that'll always be number one, but there's only Phil and Michael van Gerwen who've gone back to back here, so I'd love to go back to back and be the third one to do it.
Littler takes on Gerwen Price, with Luke Humphreys and Nathan Aspinall facing off in the other semi-final. In tennis, men's number one Yannick Sinner is through to the third round of the French Open. The Italian beat French veteran Richard Gasquet in straight sets at Roland Garros this afternoon. Another men's seed has fallen after Kazakhstan's Alexander Bublik came from two sets down to win 3-2 against ninth seed Alex de Minaur. Third seed Alexander Zverev beat Dutchman Jesper de Jong by 3-1. And in the women's singles, second seed Coco Gauff progressed after beating Teresa Valentova by 2-0. Sixth seed Mira Andreeva is through to the third round after a straight sets win over Aislinn Kruger, and Jessica Pegula was also a straight sets winner against American Anne Lee. In golf, Leona Maguire will fly the Irish flag at the second major championship of the LPGA season. The Cavan woman will tee off at the Women's US Open just before 7:15 Irish time this evening. Shane Lowry is in opening round action at the Memorial Tournament in Ohio. The Offaly native is 3 under par through 9 holes and tied for second at Murrayfield, 2 shots off the lead. Connor Purcell is 5 strokes off the lead at the Austrian Alpine Open. The Portmarnock golfer carded an opening round of 68 for 2 under par. In horse racing, there's action at Ferry House this evening with the first of 7 races going to post shortly. Donegal jockeys Dylan Brown McMonagall, Luke McAteer and Patrick McGettigan are all competing on that card in County Meath. Finally, coming up on the Score programme later, there will be reaction from Tyrone's All-Ireland Under-20 success last night. John Gilday will look ahead to Donegal's must-win game against Cavan in the All-Ireland Series on Sunday. We'll speak with new Institute manager Peter Hutton, and we'll also be catching up with former Finn Harps man Gavin Cullen to look ahead to tomorrow's League of Ireland fixtures for Harps and Derry City. That's all on the Score after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Back to you, Dunamarie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to weather, breezy, humid and mostly cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle in moderate to fresh gusty southwest winds. To conclude this evening's news, here's the headlines. Taoiseach Simon Harris has committed to apply more pressure to the Lebanese government to see justice for the family of a Donegal soldier who was murdered when on a peacekeeping mission. Private Sean Rooney was shot and killed when his convoy came under fire in 2022. The commitment came following a question from Deputy Catherine Callaghan, who served in Lebanon during her time as a member of the Irish Defence Forces. The High Court has dismissed a legal challenge by a Donegal-based Garda over the handling of a disciplinary investigation and his ongoing suspension. Garda Keith Harrison, who's been suspended since 2021, is accused of entering into a sexual relationship with a vulnerable woman who committed a crime to him. A man's been left shaken after an alleged car hijacking incident near Milford in the early hours of this morning. It's understood he was driving on a back road between Milford and Termon at around 3:30 when 3 men dressed in dark clothing jumped out in front of his car. 2 of them jumped on the vehicle's bonnet, while the other man produced a knife and demanded that the man get out of his car. And finally, the acting Garda Commissioner has welcomed the extradition of one of the country's most wanted criminals. Sean McGovern, a senior figure in the Kinahan cartel, is en route to Dublin after being extradited from the UAE overnight. The 39-year-old Dubliner was among 7 members of the gang sanctioned by the US authorities in 2022. That's all for now from the news desk. Chris has the farming news and views up next after the obituary notices. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, May 29th. The death has taken place of James Russell, Drina, Ballyheg, County Kerry, formerly of Churchill Letterkenny. James will repose at his daughter Marie and son-in-law Shane's home in Drina, Ballyheg, tomorrow from 3 p.m. until 10 p.m. House private, please, at all other times. The funeral cortege will pass through Ballyheg village on Saturday at approximately 12 noon, followed by cremation in Shannon Crematorium at 3 p.m. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired, to the palliative care unit, Kerry University Hospital. The death has taken place of Archie Leggett, 185 Lone Moor Road, Derry, reposing at his home until 11 o'clock today and from 10 a.m. until 11 p.m. tomorrow. Funeral from his home on Saturday at 9:20 to St. Columbus Church Long Tower for Requiem Mass at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has taken place of Lizzie Williams, née Larkin, Fort Well Place, Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, formerly from 108 Lower Main Street, Letterkenny. Lizzie's remains will repose at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow from 4 p.m. with removal at 5:45 to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass there on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member. The death has taken place of Molly McMenamin, 35 Castle Avenue, Buncrana. Molly will be reposing at her late residence from 7pm this evening. House private from 10pm to 11am each night. Funeral leaving her late residence on Sunday at 12 noon, going to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for funeral mass at 12:30, followed by burial in St Mary's Cemetery, Cockhill. Funeral can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family, flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Nazareth House Fawn, Residence Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Porter Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Matt Sibanda, St Mary's Road, Buncrana. Matt's remains will be reposing in St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, tomorrow evening from 7pm to 10pm. Requiem Mass will take place on a Saturday morning at 9:30, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Cockhill. The death has taken place in London, England, of Neil Connor, formerly of Carrick, Carrigart. Remains are en route to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11am, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Fund, care of any family member. Mass can be viewed on Meva Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Thomas McCauley, Glen Cush, Lifford. Remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from his home tomorrow afternoon at 1:15. For 2 o'clock service of thanksgiving in Clonlea Church of Ireland, Lifford, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time only on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to Clonlea Church of Ireland, Lifford, care of Gillian Graham or any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to Highland Radio.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. A controversial proposed major trade deal, which would have a hugely negative impact on Irish farming, could yet be halted, Midlands Northwest MEP Kieran Mullooly claimed this week, speaking at the May meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the Irish Farmers Association in Letterkenny. He stressed that the battle is still on to stop the Mercosur deal between the European Union and a number of South American countries. Under the deal, the EU will get greater access to export goods to South America, but in return there will be an influx of beef and poultry products. To discuss this and a number of topics, he spoke to me after the meeting.
Kieran, you've been addressing the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. Numerous topics coming up. Maybe we'll just start with CAP, and you had a couple of figures there about the average payment to farmers here in Donegal. I think you mentioned about 16,500. It's hugely significant, and this year we're going to see movement on that on the next CAP programme. So what's your take on where we are at the moment?
Donegal farmers have a huge reliance on the single farm payment, and that figure of 16,500 or thereabouts is a huge reliance. And I think they'll be watching carefully what happens on the 15th of July. There is speculation about the CAP budget being linked in with another budget, create one fund. We are totally opposed to that. I've spoken against it. I've spoken to the Commissioner. I will vote against it in the Parliament. And for one good reason, that the CAP budget, as it is not sufficient to cover farming demands. The environmental grant aid is not covered at all, and we need an increase in the CAP budget, not a sharing of it with cohesion. Personally, I don't think it'll happen. I think our Commissioner may be flying a kite on this to see how countries will react, but he cannot lower the budget either. We need a strong CAP budget. Donegal needs it. Though that payment, that average payment, is just about giving people an income in the county. And we cannot countenance the situation where it's reduced, because if it is reduced, there'll be fewer farmers in Donegal, and in turn, depopulation on a broad scale here.
Now, talking about fewer farmers and the small family farm, you also had figures in relation to the Mercosur deal here in Ireland, the average farm 32 hectares. In the Mercosur countries, 1,500 hectares on average. Now, the deal, some people feel it's inevitable that it's going to go through, but you've been making the point that there's a bit of a sway within the European Parliament. This may not be the done deal that some had speculated about.
We can only go, Chris, on what we saw at the most recent vote. We had a vote back in the end of April or early May on a similar enough motion, which was lost, and that the Mercosur deal was supported. But only lost by about 40-50 votes. And in the same vote, we had the incredible situation where our Fine Gael MEPs, for whatever reason, decided to back the Mercosur deal. And then secondly, we had the crazy situation as well where 50 to 60 people abstained. So I don't accept that Mercosur is a done deal. I take those figures and I say, if 50 or 60 people are not sure in May or April, May, then we've got till September to win more hearts and minds on this. So we published a brochure. You've seen it tonight, leaflet going around. We are trying to influence more and more of those other countries, particularly the Italians, the Dutch, the French. And those are the key ones, the Austrians, because there are pockets in each of those countries where there is strong resistance of what Mercosur means. What does Mercosur mean? It means an influx of beef and white meats into this country without any form of approval in terms of medical and environmental safety. There's no guarantees for any of that. And it would flood the market and bring down our prices. There's no two ways about it. It will affect the market. So I say the battle's not over. I say we will continue to speak. I will personally speak to those 55, 60 MEPs who abstained, and I will ask them to reconsider on the basis of what it would do to their economy as well. Because many of them, including the Italians, as I said, half the Italian MEPs are in areas where beef and farming is important. The other half are in areas where the car automotive industry is important. We have to try and win the hearts and minds of every MEP we can on this. So I'm not giving up on it. If it goes to September, I think we have a good chance still of actually blocking it.
You also spoke about the importance of food security and also, I suppose we could call it common sense bureaucracy, because we don't seem to have that at the moment. People in this room, you needn't tell them, I needn't tell them, farmers are getting bogged down by red tape. It's not just European red tape, it's also our own department here.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we have had some efforts of simplification in Europe in the last 3 months. I think smaller contributors from the single farm permits will realise that this year there's a 2,500 barrier now that's there that wasn't there before, so you don't get an inspection at all. There'll only be one inspection in the future. But despite all that, there is a regime in place, both in Europe and in our own government, our own Department of Agriculture here, that seems to drag out this payment system and add further checks and further checks. Look what's happening with acres at the moment. We have thousands of farmers still haven't been paid. Some of them heading for a third year waiting for a check. It's just incredible. We feel that there must be an onus from the government in Ireland to Europe and back, that we simplify schemes where we can at all possible. I want to see any farm with less than 30 hectares of land, I want to see it out of the inspection regime altogether. And I think we're working to that, and we'll achieve that in due course.
Going forward, are you optimistic about, you know, the future for the family farm in Ireland, in here in Donegal?
I'm optimistic if we can hold on to the standards we have in terms of cap and in terms of single farm payments. If you take that average payment that's just less than €15,000 per year, it's an income. Many of our farmers are part-time farmers. They're also bringing home a few bob from another income. But if that were to change and that budget were to be cut in any way, we would have big problems. And the other issue would be that if Leader 2 funding, Pillar 2 funding were to go, it would also be a terrible blow for rural Ireland. Lots of communities in Donegal have benefited from Leader 2 funding. We see projects such as community centres, small business, cheese makers, creating a job here, two jobs here, three. They're the fabric of local communities. We have to have that funding continue. So I'm optimistic at the moment that if we retain the existing cap structure and Pillar 2 payments to Leader, that farmers will have a fighting chance of staying in business, particularly as the market is, as you know, in beef and otherwise is buoyant at the moment.
And just finally, what is the time frame in relation to CAP at the moment?
So where we are is that the commissioner has taken, soundings from the Parliament. He's been with us on a number of occasions. He knows what we're looking for. And he has told us in the last 2 weeks that he will be back on the 15th of July with an outline of the payment procedures he intends to use. Now, some people are interpreting that on that day and say it's going to be one fund. I don't agree with that. I believe that he will give an indication of how he intends to fund it. I think we'll see... we will see the CAP and maybe environmental scheme issues. And we will see issues like I mentioned tonight. He's very strong, this commissioner, on regeneration of farming. He wants to see an incentive in CAP that will bring more young farmers in, more men and women come involved in farming. He wants to see active farmers. I think we'll hear about that on the 15th of July. He is very, very strong against the large farm owners not being active on their farm. He's going to cap the CAP. I think once it goes above 150, 200 hectares, you're going to see a sliding scale of payments. And that's what I expect to be announced on the 15th of July. And then we'll have a sit back for the multi-annual funding framework to be fully announced and start the process in September. But it's going to take 2 years. So we're going to go right up to 2027 in terms of finalisation of this CAP.
In other news, the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, has announced €300,000 in funding to 22 local agri-food tourism projects, among them Oakfield Park in Rafoe, which got €23,689 for its Donegal Festival of Food. Meanwhile, ICSA sheep chair Willie Shaw has said that sheep farmers have been dealt another crippling blow this week as factories have once again cut prices for hoggets, slashing a further 50 cent a kilo off the price in many cases. Compared to this time last year, prices are down by €2 a kilo and the carcass weight paid has dropped from 24.5 kilos to 23 kilos. Finally, if you think you are eligible for the Forgotten Farmers Scheme, just to let you know that the survey for this scheme closes this Friday, that's the 30th of May. If you want to contact your local Chagas office for more information or to speak to your advisor, well, time is running out. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's Farming Show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.